All right, the title this morning is Our Hope in a Savior. Our Hope in a Savior. We celebrate Christmas. The reason for the season is Jesus. It's not about the Christmas gifts that we get. It's not about the Christmas parties we attend. It's not about putting up the Christmas lights and Christmas trees. That has nothing to do with Christmas. The reason for the season is Jesus. We've commercialized it. We've made it something other than what God's really intended it to be. Amen. It's a time that we share and a time that we love. But the real reason for Jesus is that we were a mess. And so God had to send somebody to fix up the mess. Amen. See, if the greatest need would have been education, God would have brought an educator. If their greatest need was technology, God would have sent a scientist. He didn't do that. If our greatest need was money, he would have sent an economist. He didn't do that either. If our greatest need was to have pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But he didn't do that. Our greatest need was forgiveness and direction and hope. So he sent us a Savior, and he sent us Jesus. Amen. That's why we celebrate his birthday. I want to share just a couple scriptures with you this morning. And I'm not going to belabor them, but I want to make it real. One thing about this church is we're not religious. You come as you are. I don't wear a suit and tie. I don't like them. The ties just choke me out, you know. But if you like suit and tie, that's good. You know, that's all. So, but we keep it real. We're not religious. We're not judgmental. If you knew my story, and you might get to know a little bit about today, I wasn't always a guy that could stand at the pulpit. I got a lot to be thankful for what God's done for me. Amen. I needed a Savior. I needed someone to get me off that path that I was on. And I'm going to tell you, when you apply his word, it works. And this morning I want just to share from the book of Matthew 1:18, the New King James Version. Matthew 1:18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. It says, his mother Mary and Joseph had promised to get married. But before they started to live together, it became clear that she was going to have a baby. Uh-oh. She became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph was a godly man, and he did not want to put her to shame publicly, so he planned to divorce her quietly. But Joseph was thinking about this, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Let me stop there for a second. Many of us have had dreams, and many of us had our dreams shattered, but I'm here to tell you that there's still a dream inside of you that God wants you to birth forth. Sometimes we say, well, I got my dreams wiped out, Pastor. You don't understand. No, I do understand. But I'm telling you by the power of God this morning that there's a dream in you, and God will fulfill that dream if you allow him to help you. Amen? And it says, so he planned to divorce her quickly, but then Joseph was thinking about this, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and the angel said to him, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for the baby inside of her is of the Holy Spirit. She is going to have a son. Mary had to be willing. She had to be a participant. She didn't realize what she was signing up for. But she's going to have a son. And you must name him Jesus. That is because he will save the people from their sins. Because nobody else could, because we're all jacked up. We need a Savior, and his name was Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 says this. Isaiah 9:6. The Bible says it this way. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will come upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's who he is. Once you get to know him, oh, there's nothing like it. There's hope in Jesus. Let me say that again. There's hope in Jesus. He's our counselor. Now, let me share a little bit about a counselor, because I know we all went to school before, and we were assigned counselors. And the counselors were there to help you, get you through your college, your high school days. I remember I had a counselor, and I had to take, they were there to guide me. So I said, what do you want to be when you go older? I don't know. I'm 14, 15 years old. I don't know what I want to be. Well, do you have an idea where your skill set is? I don't know. That's where you're there. You're the counselor. You're there to try to guide me. You're there to help me. Well, Jesus is your counselor. And he's always available and he's never too busy to help you. He's never too busy. He's always available. All you got to do is call on him. Amen? A counselor, he gives you his undivided attention. There's no one more important right now to him than you. Oh, but you don't know my life, Pastor. You don't know what I've been through. And you need to learn to call on his name. You got to get to know him personally. It's not about religion. It's all about relationship, who you're connected to. If I was connected to Bill Gates, I would have a whole bunch more money. Amen? That's who you're connected to. Right? Let's keep it real. I have a relationship with my parents. I have a relationship with my wife and kid. But there's relationship. Those connections to people take you places. My brother is very successful in his business, and he's met the Bill Gates and the guy that did the Apple thing, whatever his name was, who passed away. My brother had those connections, and my brother soars in those heights, but those connections aren't as important as the one he has with Jesus. He had a counselor along his way. His name was Jesus. The counselor is there to comfort him. Think about a child who seeks comfort from their parents. I was thinking about that tragedy in Connecticut. There are some children right now that are looking to the parents of the ones they lost. Think about that. There's these young kids that are lost, and there's other family members and say, hey, my brother and sister aren't coming home ever again. But the parents are there as a counselor there to comfort them, to love them. That's what a counselor does. A counselor guides you in the right way, gives you sound advice. I don't know about you, but I took a lot of advice from some counselors, and they weren't godly, and I tell you, they led me into some trouble. Almost bankrupted me, squandered money foolishly. Took advantage of me. They were looking out for themselves. They were advisors, but they were looking out for themselves. That's Jesus doesn't do that. He's looking out for you. You're his number one concern. Our hope needs to be in Jesus because he's our everlasting Father. If you know Jesus, the Bible says, then you know the Father, for I and the Father are one. Everyone says, what's God like just like Jesus? If you get to know Jesus, you just get to know what God's just like. Amen. There would be people pouring into the churches in Connecticut. I was reading it. You know, it's sad it took a tragedy for people to have to be poured into the churches instead of just going on in their own accord. Amen? When I find myself in trouble, the first place I want to run to is the church. Most people run away from the church. Amen? The word Father, when you think about everlasting Father, means protector. He protects you. He guides you. He guards you. He's there to help bring food and help feed and protect and security and wealth and warmth. That's what a father does. He brings that into your life. Now, some of us may have lost our fathers. Some of us may not even know our fathers. Some of us may have gone through a divorce and our children don't see their father, but there's still a father that's available in heaven. You still can have a connection. You still can have someone that loves you and wants to protect you and wants to care for you. Because sometimes, even my wife and I are married, sometimes I feel lonely. But yet I still have a companion. But I do have a Father in heaven that still loves me. I can call on his name. It says, therefore, in Matthew 18:4, it says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Those that humble themselves. God's not looking for those that are prideful, boastful. Look at me. I used to be that way. I was arrogant, conceited, and cocky. And I'd say, you got a trouble with that? People say, what time it is? I said, it's time for you to buy a watch. But then God got a hold of me because I was very arrogant. I was very conceited. I thought that I was all that and a slice of bread and found out I really wasn't. Amen. God had to get a hold of me. God had to get in me and change some things that were out of order. God's also the God of peace. Our hope is in Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. I'm going to close with this. When I couldn't find peace in anything else, I found it in Jesus. You hear me say, Pastor, you're crazy. No. When I was going to commit suicide, couldn't find peace in that. When I went to the alcohol bottle, couldn't find peace in it. when I had to go smoke that joint to make me feel better, to get away from life, I never found peace. It was until I found Jesus that I found peace. I went through hell and high waters. I went through 12 years of battle with a pancreas disorder that killed me twice, but the devil couldn't stomp me out. And I had to have peace over that circumstance. And once I battled that battle and I won, I still had one more battle coming. I didn't know I was going to end up a couple years later having some kind of cancerous growth in my lung. And people go, well, now it's over for you. But I had peace through the test and through the storms. You don't think that sickness will take a toll on your marriage? Let me tell you, it wasn't easy. You think sickness and disease doesn't take a toll on your financial checkbook? Let me tell you, it does. And the only thing I could hope for and the only thing I could believe in is that there was this name Jesus, this guy named Jesus. And when I was lost and tore up from the floor up, I found Jesus. And he was the only one that could answer. He was the only one that could help me. No one else could. I already tapped into everybody I knew. And they said, don't come by me no more because you're tapped out, brother. So I had to go to somebody that could help me, the Prince of Peace. There's something about his name that calms the storms in life. Even though I'm going through tests and trials, and I still do go through many, I don't get all freaked out about it. When I lost my job, I said, God, you must have found me a better one. I'm believing. Yeah, I'm looking at the checkbook, but I know what God's word says. See, Jesus invites you to his open arms. And into the Word. The Bible says this, Matthew 11, 28. The Bible says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you're going through hell, when you're going through stuff, you can never find rest in the things of the world. But you can find rest in his word. You can rest assured that God's going to try to take care of you. He's going to make sure it happens for you. All those that labor and heavy labor, all those that are out trying to get it done their way instead of God's way. All those that are trying to work two or three part-time jobs, God say, I got something better for you. If you just sit down for a minute and spend some time with me, I'll give you a better plan. Those that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but sometimes you go through so much stuff, all you could just cry out and just, man, I just wish I could get some rest. If I could just rest my head just for a little bit. Man, I've been going through so much, my mind's just spinning, and you say, I just need to get some rest. And then we turn to something other than what God's word says. We turn to a pill or a substance or, been there, done that. So what I'm saying, I've lived. I just can't deal with the circumstance anymore, so I got to do something different. This morning, Jesus wasn't just a baby laying in a manger. Jesus didn't come in the Taj Mahal. He didn't come in a limo. He didn't come as a millionaire. Didn't have the greatest clothes. Born in a manger. Born in a barn. And we complain that we don't have the right clothes and we don't have the biggest house. But then you look what Jesus came into. Jesus was not a lawyer. He wasn't the guy in charge. He wasn't the mayor or the governor. He was just a carpenter. Common folk like me. Y'all might be lawyers and doctors and stuff, but not me. I'm just common folk. Hard worker, just get it done. He wasn't just a prophet. No, he was the soon coming king, Jesus. He's the reason for the season. It's not about the Christmas wreath you have or the toys that kids are going to get here shortly. But there really is a reason for the season. His name is Jesus. Because we needed a Savior. His birth into this world was a divine appointment for each and every one of us today. Jesus came as our Savior to forgive our sins and to get us back on track. Our hope is in the Savior. That's why they called Him Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's why we celebrate Christmas today. We celebrate it because of Him. We celebrate His birthday because of what He's done in us and through us and for us. Now, this morning you say, Pastor, no, I ain't got a lot. That's okay. God gets you right where He's got you right where He wants you, and He's going to take you to some places that you don't even have an idea yet. How do you know? Because I know. I know what it is to go through hell. I know what it is to lose some things. I know what it is to struggle. I know what it is to deal with drugs and alcohol and pain and suffering. I know that. That's why I can preach it and teach it, and I'm not that same person anymore. Because I got a hold of something, and someone got a hold of me. And He shook all that stuff that was in me. He sifted all that garbage that was in me and said, it's going to be okay. I know it don't look good right now, and it don't look promising tomorrow, but there is a future for you. Pastor, are you serious? Yeah, I'm dead serious. God's got something good in store for you. It's not by chance that you're here. It's not by chance that some of you called Toys for Tots or got a hold of our church, you know, and people go, well, I was expecting your church to have 1,000 people in there. We have a lot on vacation, a lot working right now. But we have a big heart. Amen. And we all have different stories on how we got to be connected to Jesus. Some of us have had some rough roads along the way. Some of us have been with a golden spoon in our mouth. Still messed up. Amen? But this morning, where you are at today is not where you're going to finish. God's not done with you. He's planted something inside of every one of us. There's greatness in all of you. I don't know if you know that, but there's greatness. And probably people have told you you'll never amount to anything. God says you're going to amount to something. Something great. He always uses the least likely. I was the least likely. I was the one that God, I said, you never use me. My baggage I've got is so long and so deep, I can't even carry it all. Lord, I've done so much that is painful to you. How could you even love me? He still loves you. He still cares about you. He still wants to embrace you. You've never gone too far where God's hand can't reach. I thought I pushed it way to the limits. But God was still there, reaching out. And it's not until I called on that name of Jesus till my life changed. I called on it a couple times. I backslid. I got saved and then came to the front and then, you know, went out, and 2 minutes later I'm having a cigarette and I'm back to my old lifestyle. But then when I really got it and really started understanding His word, it's not really that difficult at all. Let's be real for a minute this morning. We've taken all the prayer in our schools, and we wonder why kids are getting gunned down. We've taken prayer out of all the things in the government, and it's trashed out. You can't say anything because it might offend somebody, and then you get sued. Everyone says, well, it was the gun that killed all those people, or was the gun that killed that guy and that woman over at Excalibur the other day. Another shooting. Suicide. He had that football player with lots of money. Had everything going, yet killed his girlfriend and killed himself. Why? Because there was one thing missing in his life. He had the money, He had the fame. He had the looks. He got the sport. He was the man, but he was missing one thing, Jesus. Because if he would have known the commandments of God, he would have never killed himself or anybody else. But when you start to take all this out, guess what? There's even churches I know they've taken the word out. They just want you to make you feel good. But it's the only thing that changes you is the word of God. It's like a medicine. Amen? I don't know about you, if you've ever been sick and you don't take medicine, you still stay sick. But once you start taking the medicine and you get those medicine in you, it starts to affect your system and starts to kill that what was inside of you. That's what the word of God does. It just kills those things that are foul in you. I had a lot of foulness, amen. My wife said amen, amen, amen. But this morning I want to encourage you. I just want to take a moment. You don't join a church when you get saved. You join a family. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a resource. But the source is God. You're saying, oh. No, the source is God. My income and the job I have is only because of the God that I serve. The car that I drive to be able to afford to pay the gas in it is because the God I serve provides it all for me. And if he doesn't like me in that job and they fire me tomorrow, he'll find me something better if I trust him. So this morning, I just want to take a moment, and there may be those that are here this morning that really never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You don't join a church, you're not joining a cult. What you're doing is you're just getting in a relationship. You're getting connected with someone that can help you. The government's not going to help you. Your neighbors may not help you. But the guy that I know, the God that I serve, the Jesus that I know, the Savior of my life, he can help you. I can't even help you. But I know that I can guide you to someone that can help you. Amen? Who's your advocate? Who's your best friend? Who's your counselor? Who's going to lead you? Who's going to give you peace in your life? If that's you this morning, I just want us to bow our heads and just close our eyes just for a moment. Because I don't want to embarrass anybody or make you feel embarrassed. But if that's you this morning, as your eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if you don't have that personal relationship, that one-on-one with God, you're saying, I just got to know this Jesus. Man, my life's jacked up, and I just need some help. If that's you this morning, I invite you to raise your hand so I can just pray with you and for you this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Embrace the moment. It's the time. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, those that raised your hands, let's just everybody just say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. You said in your word, whoever calls upon my name shall be saved. I am calling on your name, so I am saved. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead, and today I confess my sins to him. And I do believe in my heart I have now become the right standing of God in Christ Jesus. I am saved. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord some clap this morning. Hallelujah. A little praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's the first step. Just admitting, hey, man, I ain't got it all together. I'm a little jacked up. I got a little junk in my trunk I just need to offset. Amen. I need to drop the stuff off at Goodwill. I got too much junk. Amen. I'm going to do one more thing, and then we're going to dismiss, and we're going to hook you all up. If there's something you need prayer for this morning, maybe it's a job that needs to be opened up for you. Maybe you've been dealing with some depression. Maybe you've dealt with a tough divorce and you've been left high and dry and you're just angry about it. Or perhaps there's something you're dealing with doing with your body. You're not feeling well. You're sick. There's a disease or something. I want to pray for you this morning. I have an anointing in my life. You may not feel something instantly, but there will be almost like there's a seed inside of you, and I'm sending some miracle grow through God into your life, and there will be some things that are going to start to change and things that are going to start to break loose in your life. And I just sensed it when my wife and I were praying yesterday and as well as today that there will be those that may come that have been brokenhearted. There's been some that, man, the world has just beat you up. I mean, you just feel like, I can't even move. Some of you have been sick, laden with disease. Some of you have gone through some hardships. And I just want to pray for you. And I just believe that God will break through some things that are in our lives. If God did it for me, He'll do it for you. That's what the Bible says. He's not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter what your nationality is, what your age is, what color of your skin. God just is God. And there's things we go through in life, and sometimes we bring it upon ourselves, and sometimes it just comes upon us because we're living life. Life is not easy. God never said it was going to be easy. When I got saved, I thought everything was going to go good. And it didn't. I thought when I was 365 pounds, I lost, I got Jesus, the next day I would be 200 pounds. That didn't work. Got that sickness on me, and I dealt with it for 12 years. Upon death twice. Just to battle some stinking cancer they stuck in my lungs, the devil. But I had a part of it because I smoked. Can't blame everything on the devil. Sometimes it's our own stupidity, smoke a pack or two a day and, keep the doctor coming your way. But He healed me. Healed me in the middle of the night. I didn't have chemo. I didn't have radiation. I just had miracle Jesus show up. When I didn't have enough finances when we started the church, miraculously I would give and God would open up doors and financially just bless. When I couldn't find a job, there was always money that came in because God would connect me with somebody to help get what we needed. When the marriage was on the rocks, we called upon God who is my rock. And God brought people in to show us about what marriage is really about. It's a lot of good times, but sometimes there's some tough times too. But when you put Him first and when you place Him in the center of your life, things begin to change. I didn't say they're all good, not easy. But let me tell you, turnaround comes. Jobs change, your friends change. There'll be some friends that you had today that you won't have coming when you leave here. You're going to say, I got to cut these people off because they're draining me. They're killing me. They're taking the life out of me. You ever heard those things? There's some friends that are there that are life killers. There's people that are speaking death into your life instead of life into your life. Pastor, you're speaking right to me. I already know. I know. I got people that speak death to me all the time. I say, you got to get away from me. I'm a positive person. I'm going through hell, but I'm still going to be positive that I'm going to get through it. I know what the doctor's report said, but I know what the Word of God said. I believe his report well, they said that, but God said, I'll take his word over any word of any man, any government official. I'll go by what he says. When he says, by his stripes I were healed, I got to believe I was healed. We're healed. I just got to have it manifest. So this morning, I encourage you, if there's something that you're dealing with, you need a breakthrough. You need a financial miracle. You need to get sickness and disease off your family and yourself. Maybe you got some hardness of your heart because you're angry at somebody that put the screws to you. This morning, give it to God, because you're only enabling the other person to take charge of you when you hold on to it. Best just to give it away, just to let it go. You'll feel so much better. You won't have that burden and be all weighed down and I can't do anything. I'm just, whoa. You get rid of the Eeyore syndrome. Oh, it's woe is me. You get rid of all that. I'm being real this morning. My mode of teaching is usually teaching and preaching and give you the word so you can go out and beat the devil up every day. But the God says, hey, I want you to give this word. I do what God tells me to do. I had a different plan. I had a different sermon plan, and I had things already laid out. And God says, no, this is what I want you to say to those that are coming. Oh, okay, God, well, do whatever you want to do. Mary was a vessel that birthed Jesus. All of us are a vessel that God wants to use. But sometimes we need to get cleaned out. It's like a gun in the chamber. When you shoot the gun enough, you got to clean it out, otherwise it jams up. If you don't vacuum your rugs long enough, there will be too much junk on it. So then you need to go and vacuum and put that freshener on it and make it look pure and nice. That's what God does. He takes away your sins. He takes away your sickness. He takes away your disease. He takes away those things. So this morning, if you want to be prayed for this morning, I would like you to come up. I'll pray with you and for you. Lay hands on you real quick. And you may not feel something right now, but God's got something good in store and planned for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.